بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي تواضع لعظمته كل شيء الحمد لله الذي استلم لقدرته كل شيء الحمد لله الذي ذل لعزته كل شيء الحمد لله الذي خضع لملكه كل شيء فلك الحمد والشكر يا ربي ما ركع راكع لجلالك وسجد وما دب على وجه البسيطة من أحد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers, listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special style in the Quran in which He reveals certain things and He states things with certain significance. He mentions certain things in particular ways, particular wordings, which beyond the normal wording it expresses and it gives great reverence and it shows great honor for the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. For example, if I say to you right now, MashaAllah, look who's here. You will, when you turn around to see who's here, the person may be whoever it is, but the way I've said it will give you some honor and respect for that person. Now, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it, He doesn't have to do it in so many words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam is the kalam of the divine, the kalam of the creator of the worlds. He doesn't have to use so many words. Just the way He expresses certain words in Arabic makes the Quran the mu'jiza that it is. The Quran is a mu'jiza because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Quran down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in his time, the big thing, the big deal was about saying things in very good Arabic. Saying beautiful Arabic that was composed in a very beautiful, rhetorical, eloquent fashion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Qur'an down to surpass all of these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a challenge down with this. A mu'jiza for any prophet is the thing that he does which is extraordinary, that cannot be challenged, but that is linked to a claim of prophethood. When the Prophet, any Prophet or Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasul or a Nabi, claims prophethood, then he shows a mu'jiza to prove it, and nobody can challenge that mu'jiza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tanzeelan. Tanzeelan. The word tanzeel, for those who understand Arabic, is a mustar. Is a mustar. Mustar means the thing from which all the verbs come out. Tanzeela. It refers to the munazzal. The thing which has been revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give it a name yet. Neither does He say who is sending it, or who wrote it, or who He's giving it to. He says tanzeela. The way He says this tanzeela, I mean, if you can't understand that, then really there's no way I can explain that. If it's really a sad case that being Muslims for so long, being born Muslims, having learned many languages sometimes, Urdu we know, Gujarati, Bangladeshi, or Bangla, Punjabi, English, we don't know Arabic, which is really sad. In fact, some people think that this is such a sacred language that we can't learn it. Yani itni ba-barkat zuban hai ki hum usko seekh nahi sakte hai. Usko seekhne mein fitna hai. That's how some people feel. And this is something that if you read the Quran for hours and hours, Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, and you can't understand what Allah is saying to you, then really this is something we should at least try to do. As they say that if you recite the Quran with understanding, آپ کے پڑھنے کے اوپر چار چاند چڑھ جائیں گے. The understanding that you will have, the benefit that you will have, the lazzat that you'll have, the pleasure that you'll have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says tanzeela. You can just sit and revel in that verse. Just tanzeela. Just think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty with which He said this. I give you an example. There was a very prominent Persian writer of Arabic. He is considered an adib of Arabic, a literary scholar. He is the author of Kilya wa Dimna, which is a very famous Arabic composition piece. It's in the Arabic classics. If you study Arabic, that's what you will, you know, this is one thing that you would read, Kilya wa Dimna. His name was Abdullah ibn al-Muqaffa. He was not a Muslim then. He tried to challenge the Quran. He went and he sat for a very long time trying to produce a piece which could match the Quran in its style and its beauty and its succinctness and its comprehensiveness, its rhythm, its rhetoric. And one day he was going past some place, a window was open, and this young girl was reciting the Quran. He was reciting Surat Hud. He was reciting Surat Hud, the story of Nuh alayhi salam. And within that, there's an ayah that comes which is only only 19 words long. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِيِّ وَقِيلَ بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Now I can translate that for you, but the beauty will not be there. There is no language that I can use that could convey the beauty, translate the beauty of these verses. It is only 18 to 19 words long. And the translation is quite simple. And it was said, وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي, O land, O earth, swallow your water. After the floods of Nuh alayhi salam, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the earth. O earth, swallow your water. O sky, withhold your rain. No more now. Withhold your rain. And the water subsided. وَغِيضَ الْمَا وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. And the matter was accomplished. The matter was accomplished. وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِيِّ. And the ship came to rest on the mountain of Judi. And then it was said, بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Away with the wrongdoing people. Now in Arabic, that just sounds like a piece of information. But in English, that just sounds like a piece of information. It would sound the same in any other language. But if you were to understand Arabic, and you knew Arabic to a certain decent level of the grammar and the rhetoric and the balagha, then you will see that the ulama have written, the ulama of balagha, of rhetoric, that study the beauty and the composition of the language, they've said that there are more than 20 different types of points of rhetoric and balagha and points of beauty in this verse. And only those who understand Arabic and who write like this will be able to appreciate it. Abdullah ibn al-Muqaffa, when he was passing by, he heard these words, وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِيِّ وَقِيلَ بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He went straight back home and he tore everything up that he had done until now. He said, this cannot be challenged. This cannot be challenged. Now, you may know that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before his time, it was a time of poetry. The best of the poets, their pieces, their writing, their poems would be hung on the Kaaba. There were seven such pieces. There were seven such poems that were very long and beautiful that everybody accepted as a mastery in style and beauty. One of them, the best of them, in fact, was that of a person called Imra'ul Qais. That was one of the best of them. Now, when the Quran was revealed and people slowly began to learn the verses of the Quran, slowly, either the poets themselves or the people who were their inheritors, their children or whoever it was, they began to pull off these poems of the Kaaba, said that these have been surpassed, these have been overdone, they've been overcome. Only one that remained was Imra'ul Qais. Imra'ul Qais, his poem, his sister was now in charge. She said, no, there's nothing that has come so far, according to her, that can match this poem yet. So eventually, when this ayah was revealed, the same one, وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي, this ayah was revealed, then she went And she took that piece down and says, now I can see that this is something, kalam of the divine, kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's something that cannot be compared to. Just to give you an idea, Imra'ul Qais's poem starts, قِفَا نَبْكِ مِنْ ذِكْرَى حَبِيبٍ بِسِقْتِ اللِّوَى بَيْنَ الدَّخُولِ فَحَوْمَنِي فَطُوضِحَ فَالْمِقْرَاتُ لَمْ يَعْفُ رَسْمُهَا لِمَا نَسَجَتْهَا مِنْ جُنُوبٍ وَشَمْأَلِي تَرَى بَعْرَ الْأَرْعَامِ فِي أَرَصَاتِهَا وَقِيعَانِهَا كَأَنَّهُ حَبُّ فُلْفُلِي كَأَنِّي غَدَاةَ الْبَيْنِ يَوْمَ تَحَمَّلُ لَدَى سَمُرَاتِ الْحَيِّ نَاقِفُ حَنْظَلِي وَقُوفًا يَا صَحْبِي عَلَيَّ مَطِيَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ لا تهلك أسا وتجملي وإن شفاعي عبرة مهراقة فهل عند رسم دارس من معولي. It goes on for like 90 poems. Everything at the end is li 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 li. Such beauty in the language. I mean, the contents is another story. I don't want to go into the contents. What he speaks about is quite redundant, right, from our perspective. But when the ayah of the Quran came down, even this was put down. Abdullah ibn al-Muqaffa became a Muslim. He embraced Islam later. This is the beauty of the Quran, which unfortunately we can't understand. That's not the point of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَنْزِيلًا مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى. This is the thing which has been revealed from the one who created the earth and the high heavens. السَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى. The supralunary world. The high heavens. The one who has sent this down. It has come down from the one who's created the earth and the high heavens. Ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arshi istawa. He is the one who is the owner of the throne. He has established himself on the throne. Lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ardi. For him is everything that is in. He just didn't create them, but everything that exists within them is his. Wa ma tahta thara. And also that which is under the earth. Somewhere where we can't even look. But the more a person is scientific, the biologists, the scientists, they when they look into the level that they get to, they can appreciate these things. Everybody appreciates it according to his level. Allah has things to be appreciated at anybody and everybody's level. As long as you open your heart and allow the inspiration to come into your heart. Still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not said where this Quran is coming to and who it's coming from. It's just characteristics. It's just attributes of who this is. Just sifat. The one who created the heavens and the one who everything belongs to. Then Allah says, وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Even if you say something aloud, you voice something, you say something with your mouth that somebody can hear. He knows that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say he knows that. The way he says it, even if you say something aloud, he knows the secret and that which is more hidden. So clearly and more conclusively, he knows that which you say aloud. Allah knows the secrets, which we think is the most secret of all, but He knows even more subtle things than that. There's a hadith that's related in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once approached by a young man. And a young man said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he complained about his father. He complained about his dad. He said, my dad spends my money. What a complaint. My father spends my money, you know. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, call your father. This must be something, call your father. As soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told him this and the person had gone away to go and call his father, Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, when this person got to his father, he told his father that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling you. This father understood what the complaint was about. So he said, in his heart, he immediately composed the poem. But he didn't say it aloud. His son was there. He did not say it aloud. He composed the poem that was purely in his mind. His ears had not heard. Ma sami'athu udhuna. His ears had not heard it. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Jibreel alayhi salam had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, when this man comes to you, ask him to say what his ears have not yet heard. So when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet said, what's this complaint about? And the person said, well, you know, ask him who I've been spending this money on. Isn't it just his own uncle, his own auntie that I've been spending it on? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, da'an hadha. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, well, leave this point alone right now. Leave this point alone right now. Tell me about the thing which your mind has said that your ears have not yet heard. So the person said, Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases us in yaqeen and conviction each time through you, Ya Rasulullah. He immediately understood what the Prophet ﷺ was speaking about. It was this poem that he had composed in his mind that he hadn't uttered yet. He hadn't written down yet. And the Prophet ﷺ knew what he was speaking about. He knew what the Prophet ﷺ was speaking about. And then he said the poem. The poem was, he said to Rasulullah, now this poem is something he's saying about his son. He's saying to his son, but he didn't say it yet. So he says it for the first time with his tongue right now. And the Prophet ﷺ is listening. He said, غَذَوْتُكَ مَوْلُودًا وَعُلْتُكَ يَافِعًا تُعَلُّ بِمَا أُدْنِي إِلَيْكَ وَتُنْهَلُ إِذَا لَيْلَةٌ ضَافَتْكَ بِالسُّقْمِ لَمْ أَبِتْ لِسُقْمِكَ إِلَّا سَاهِرًا أَتَمَلْمَلُ تَخَافُ الرَّدَى نَفْسِي عَلَيْكَ وَإِنَّهَا لَتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الْمَوْتَ وَقْتٌ مُؤَجَّلُ كَأَنِّي أَنَا الْمَطْرُوكُ دُونَكَ بِالَّذِي طُرِقْتَ بِهِ دُونِي فَعَيْنِي تَهْمَلُ فَلَمَّا بَلَغْتَ السِّنَّ وَالْغَايَةَ الَّتِي إِلَيْهَا مَدَى مَا كُنْتُ فِيكَ أُؤَمِّلُ جَعَلْتَ جَزَائِي غِلْظَةً وَفَظَاظَةً كَأَنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْمُنْعِمُ الْمُتَفَضِّلُ فَلَيْتَكَ إِذْ لَمْ تَرَ حَقَّ أُبُوَّتِي فَفَعَلْتَ كَمَا الْجَارُ الْمُجَاوِرُ يَفْعَلُ فَأَوْلَيْتَنِي حَقَّ الْجِوَارِ وَلَمْ تَكُنْ عَلَيَّ بِمَالٍ دُونَ مَالِكَ تَبْخَلُ. Essentially, the conclusion of all of this is that I looked after you when you were young, and I looked after you and I nurtured you when you were until a young man. عُلْتُكَ يَافِعًا. يَافِعًا means somebody about the age of 20. I looked after you for all of these years. And he mentions a number of the ihsanat and a number of favors that he's done in son. And he's saying that at night time when you would be sick, it would be as though I am sick. I could not get to sleep. It was as though I had become ill, and I would just be waiting for so long to see you smile, to see that you're getting better. Even though we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made death an appointed time, still we were very fearful. Until when you reached the stage that I could now start relying on you, now that I had become frail and old, and you had become now strong and stable, that you could start helping me out, then what you have made my reward and what you have given me in retaliation is fadhadhatan wa ghildhatan, is harshness. You're now treating with me with harshness. Now you're going and making these complaints to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I'm taking your money. You're making all of these complaints as though you're the one who did all of these good things on me, as though I have never done anything on you. And then he says to him some very interesting, and I think our youngsters and our elders and all of us should realize this, because we all have parents, which is, if you could not fulfill the rights of you being my son and me being your father, then you could have at least treated me like a good neighbor treats his neighbor. Subhanallah. You could treat me at least like a good neighbor treats his neighbor. But no, you became even worse than that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this poem and he began to cry. He began to cry. Then he took hold of this young man and he said, "Anta wa maluka li abik." You and your wealth is all for your father. You and your wealth is all for your father. وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. If you say something even loudly, Allah knows that, and even the thing which is more silent and secret. Allah knew this, and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this. I mean, there are so many other things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Allahu la ilaha illahu. It is Allah, the one that besides whom there is no God. Allahu la ilaha illahu, lahu al-asma'ul husna. He has all the beauty, beautiful names. The whole point of this lecture is that we need to connect ourselves with the Quran. We need to connect ourselves, we need to recite it, we need to memorize it. And we need to understand it and comprehend its meaning. We do not want so many years to pass away and we die and that we haven't even believe me, there are people who have been reciting Quran for all their lives and they don't know what the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha is. They don't know the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. Is that not shameful? If you look at it from that perspective, you've been reading Quran all our lives. In salat, in reading and everything. We don't know what Surah Al-Fatiha means. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand what we recite, at least in our salat, so He improves our salat. Allah give us a special connection with the Quran. Keep it in our lives and keep it a source of guidance. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.